Welcome to The Grill Room. On the menu this week, all the latest news, views, and opinions from the world of professional golf. Your maitre d's are Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli, two friends who rarely agree on anything. You can count on them to give you both sides of the story, whether you want it or not. So come on in, have a seat, and remember, anything that comes from the Grill Room is definitely on our tab. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. And remember, keep your applause to a mild clap, all right? After all, we're talking golf here.
Well, it's that time again, and the Grill Room doors are open. Come on into the Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. Equipment for a visual advantage. Powered by Golf Week, where you go inside the ropes. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Alex Maselli, and of course, it's all about the Ryder Cup. Alex, welcome aboard. Exciting times in the world of golf.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is about as exciting as it gets outside of the event itself. The buildup is kind of interesting, and this is the last piece of that puzzle before we actually get to Glen Eagles. I don't think anything, hopefully nothing crazy happens between now and then, but this was it. Selection Tuesday, I guess we're calling it, with the Europeans taking their three selections, and obviously Tom Watson making his three selections. And so now we go on, 24 guys, and we'll see what happens when we get to Scotland.
Let me ask you this, Alex, just on the surface, in broad strokes, any real surprises today, either with Paul McGinley or with Captain Tom Watson's picks?
Well, I think yes. I think a little surprise. Actually, I think Luke Donald was probably playing a little better than Lee Westwood. And for some reason, and he didn't really say why. McGinley didn't really explain himself why he decided to pick Westwood over Donald. But he just made that decision. And I have a feeling that he had made that decision a while ago, just for some reason. Poulter was a given. There's no question that Ian Poulter was being on this team. I think Luke Donald said to me that they had told Pulse that he had an exemption into the next Ryder Cup after 2012. So I don't think that was a question. Jamie Donaldson was always a question. He needed to do something to keep his position, and he did by winning 2 weeks ago in the Czech Republic. So then you're left with what do you do with Stephen Gallagher? And I think Stephen Gallagher showed a lot of heart during the entire process. None of us know much about him on this side of the pond, but if you look at his numbers, they were terrific. So I think there's no question that Gallagher, if you really looked at his numbers, he probably outshined Jamie Donaldson, Graham McDowell, Thomas Bjorn, a lot of guys on the European team that were already on it by points. So there's no question that he deserved a pick. On this side of the pond, though, Bob, I'm a little surprised when you talk about how you want hot players. And I'm not going to suggest that Webb Simpson is not hot. I'm going to go more with lukewarm. Chris Kirk has had a tremendous year, played well over the last month or so, won twice in this season. Now, I know we had talked about Hunter Mahan and how he had won twice in 2012, but Hunter took after Shell Houston Open in 12. He pretty much took the season off, at least by his play. That is not the case with Chris Kirk. It was not the case yesterday when he won in Boston. So I'm a little surprised that there was a Simpson selection over Chris Kirk. And clearly Watson was not clear on who he wanted to take at that third position. Obviously, the Keegan Bradley getting a phone call after he left Boston last night, or before he even left Boston in the parking lot at TPC Boston, and Hunter Mahan on the plane, I think those two were already decided probably before the tournament started.
Well, going back to first the pick by Paul McGinley, Alex, I was kind of surprised to hear the reaction of Nick Faldo when Faldo came out and basically said that he thought that Luke Donald should have been picked over Lee Westwood. He used as his argument the short game of Luke Donald.
Well, first of all, Luke Donald has a tremendous short game, but Westwood's game, actually, his short game over the last year and a half has been better than his long game, which is kind of bizarre. Bottom line is Luke Donald is not a long hitter. that golf course that they're going to be playing, it's certainly an advantage to a longer hitter. And so that might have been part of it. But I agree with Faldo. I just think all in all, Luke Donald is a great team room guy. You know, Faldo's got a problem with Westwood. And I will say this, it's kind of interesting, but if you look back at 08, he sat Westwood. Westwood had a continuous match streak that would have overtaken Faldo, and he sat him so that he didn't overtake his record. Now, people will say, well, he didn't really do that. Look, I'm just looking at the numbers. That's what happened. So he clearly has an issue with Westwood, whatever it is. But the bottom line is Luke Donald is playing better. And, of course, I mean, it's just obvious he's playing better. Look who was in Boston last week and who wasn't. So I think there's no question to me that I would have taken Donald over Westwood.
Well, Alex, what we're going to do is we're going to take a brief time out here, and when we come back, we'll hear from Paul McGinley making those Ryder Cup picks for his European side.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Want to improve your golf game? Improve your vision. Callaway and Transitions Optical have created Callaway Neox Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, designed to enhance visual performance while playing golf. They automatically adjust color and darkness, sharpen depth perception, and offer superior clarity. You'll have more accurate distance vision and be better able to see the terrain and contours all day, regardless of weather and light conditions. Buy Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses at CallawayGolf.com or learn where to get a pair in your prescription at transitions.com/sunwear/Neox.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bubka and Alex Maselli.
It's a great honor for me as Ryder Cup captain to be sitting here, about to complete the team that will face the Americans at the end of this month. I'm in a very privileged position that I had a variety of choices. And it goes a long way. It says a lot about the European Tour and the standards we have now in Europe, the quality of picks that I have, and how far we've come over the years, for me to have such an abundance of talent to choose from. So, with no further ado, the three picks that I have chosen to complement the nine players who are already in place: Rory McIlroy, Henrik Stenson, Victor Dubuisson, Jamie Donaldson, Sergio Garcia, Justin Rose, Martin Kaymer, Thomas Bjorn and Graeme McDowell will be joined by Stephen Gallagher, Ian Poulter, and Lee Westwood.
All right, so we heard Paul McGinley make his three picks, and as you were alluded to a little earlier, I guess the real decision probably was Westwood or Donald. And, you know, you got people that are in Lee Westwood's camp. You got people that are in Luke Donald's camp. Probably a tough call for Paul McGinley, especially the friendship he has with Luke Donald. In fact, the first Ryder Cup match that Luke Donald ever played in, Paul McGinley was his partner.
Well, that's right. I mean, it was a tough decision. And you might want to think that Westwood is more versatile, can play with more people than Donald can. That's a possibility because of Donald's length. But that being said, you know, Lee Westwood has not played well. Now, he's had a couple of events recently. He's been in the gym. He's been working hard. You know, it is a possibility, Bob, that at the end of the day, he got on the phone with McGinley and convinced him that he is the guy. Yeah, you just don't know.
Well, the one thing that surprised me a little bit, Lee Westwood, the last thing that he said to the media in general, and I can't say exactly where he said it. You probably would know better than me, but he said, "I'll see you at the Ryder Cup."
Yeah, I know. And that was at, I believe that was at Barclays, after Barclays missing the cut. You know, look, I'm saying to you, I believe he's been on the team for a while. I believe that there has been some discussions. You know, you just never know on these things, but I believe that's probably the case. Luke Donald knew it was between him and Westwood on Monday after he was done. Shot a nice round, 67, on Monday, but knew that it was between him and Westwood, and obviously certainly not privy to the conversations that Westwood had with McGinley.
All right, when we come back, we'll be hearing from Captain Tom Watson with his picks. Remember, you're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, powered by Golf Week.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Okay, as promised, we're going to listen to Tom Watson. But Alex, I know you weren't there in person, but I did hear only one phone call taken from the media across all of the United States, across all of the globe, and it was your phone call. How did you arrange that?
You know, Bob, it was a it was kind of an odd situation. After the Boston event, I came up to Martha's Vineyard, and I was going to fly out of here to New York. Well, actually, Newark. And because of fog and everything else, I couldn't get out of Martha's Vineyard in time to get to the event. And so I called the PGA of America to tell them I wasn't coming. They were not happy with me, but I mean, I did my best. And then I received an email saying, please, would you please call in? So that's what I did. I did call in. And the only reason I asked Keegan Bradley the question I did was because it was very clear to me that Tom Watson was very impressed with Keegan Bradley, A, coming to Glen Eagles when he didn't have to, on his own dime, by the way. He paid for that trip, that private plane, and he flew from Edinburgh to Glen Eagles and then Glen Eagles to down to Hoylake. He paid for that. Then secondly, the fact that he really I thought did a very good job playing the golf course. Very long hitter, very high ball hitter, perfect player for a Jack Nicklaus course in Scotland. This is not a traditional Scottish golf course. And so I wanted to hear Bradley talk about his ability to play that golf course, because I think people have underestimated, you know, how the American team will play, because we are a lot of bombers, and we got a lot more of us bombers than they have bombers. And I think that it will be interesting to see how we play. If we make some putts like we did in Medina, things could be a completely different story than people are giving are predicting right now.
Well, you said it was perfectly clear to you why you asked that question of Keegan Bradley. When I heard the question, it was perfectly clear to me that you were hoping for and did solicit, unasked, a response which indicated that there was a threesome that day. It wasn't Tom Watson and Keegan Bradley. It was Tom Watson, Keegan Bradley, and Alex Maselli.
And you forgot Ted Bishop, the president of the PGA of America.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you know why I forgot it, Alex? Because I'm still trying to recover from the message that you had to deliver to the PGA of America. Hey, sorry, guys. Can't make it to the press conference. I'm stranded in Martha's Vineyard. The fog has rolled in.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I hate those press conferences. I hate doing that stuff. I really do. But I did it as a favor. And I didn't have a good – I thought that was my best question. And you know what? I think if you really listen to what he's talking about, that golf course is – there's a lot to be said for how that golf course is going to benefit us.
Well, it certainly put a lot of pressure on you, because Keegan Bradley gave you all the credit for telling him about the place where they're going to have to play. And I mean, Glen Eagles, obviously.
Wait a minute.
Let me finish. So he gave you the credit. Now we're going in. Now, if Keegan Bradley doesn't play well there, you're going to have to take some serious heat, because I'll be the first one, if anybody, saying, Alex, what the heck did you do to Keegan Bradley in that practice round with Tom Watson?
let me just say something to you. First of all, Keegan didn't need my help at all. And secondly, I was not in any way, shape, or form hoping for that, any kind of mention. What I am going to do when I see Bradley, because I'm not going to Denver, but I'm going to Atlanta, which I expect him to be at, him and I are going to have a conversation, and it's not going to go well for him.
Oh, I see. Because you wanted to keep that under wraps. It really annoyed you to hear that your name being mentioned in a Ryder Cup press conference. I know it really annoyed you.
You know, Bobby, I don't need that kind of stuff. I don't, just don't.
You create it and then tell me you don't need it. You're a beauty. Beauty with a capital B. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the players that are on this U.S. team right now, Alex. I mean, Bubba Watson, Ricky Fowler, Jim Furyk, Jimmy Walker, Phil Mickelson, Matt Kuchar, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, and Zach Johnson. You know, of those players, there are three rookies. When the European team was completed today, there are three rookies. Seems pretty even as far as rookies go playing in this Ryder Cup, the 2014 version.
Well, I mean, you can hide rookies except for singles, so I don't really look at it that way. And personally, I can't suggest that Jimmy Walker is a rookie. The guy's 35 years old, so I don't see him as a rookie. And, you know, you're looking at Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth, to me, is way beyond rookie status, and he's already been in a President's Cup. Patrick Reed is clearly the unknown, what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, how he's going to perform under the spotlight. You know, at times he plays very, very well, and then you see what happened on Sunday at Deutsche Bank, where he just imploded and shot 82. There are a couple guys on this team that I would be concerned about if I'm Captain Watson. One of them is Bubba Watson, who seems to have checked out over the last, like, 3 months. Doesn't seem to be really mentally involved with what's going on inside the ropes, and that's something that's going to have to change, and it's going to have to change in a hurry. Maybe Webb Simpson is part of the reason why he was picked, because of his partnership with Bubba Watson before. You know, people don't realize, and I was sitting down writing, you know, Webb Simpson and Bubba Watson played great together. They were 2-1 in the first 2 days. But both Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson went off 1-2, probably the biggest mistake, one of the biggest mistakes Davis Love made in letting them go off 1-2 in singles, both rookies, and both just getting drummed. People may not remember the fact that Webb Simpson actually had a 2-up lead through 6 holes over Ian Poulter, eventually let that get away, and then, even though he was all square going into the 17th hole, lost both 17 and 18 to lose 2-up to Poulter. Now, at the time, it didn't seem like a big deal, but obviously as it worked its way out, we realized that those points were crucial at the end. So I don't know about Bubba Watson, and maybe Webb Simpson will be able to help him out, but that's a concern. Patrick Reed is also concerned just because of the way he plays. But I will tell you, you look up top to bottom, Ricky Fowler playing well latter part of the year, Jim Furyk playing well latter part of the year, Jimmy Walker playing well latter part of the year, Matt Kuchar, even with the loss of his caddy's wife, Lance Bennett's wife, and playing well at the latter part of the year. Spieth playing pretty decently. And Zach Johnson played well at Deutsche Bank last week as well. So we are playing well going in, which is why I would have thought a Chris Kirk would have been a great addition, because he is playing well. Hunter Mayhead winning last week. You know, I mean, we have a very, very good team right now with a couple guys we just don't know what they're going to do.
A couple of more things I want to ask you about the U.S. team. One is Jordan Spieth. Now, Jordan Spieth, you were there at Memorial. You know, he played on the President's Cup team. That was on home turf, and that was President's Cup. I don't think that compares in the slightest to playing Ryder Cup, especially on European soil, going back to Scotland for the first time since 1973, I believe, and only the second time in history. What Jordan Spieth, whatever he's anticipating, he better amp that up a little bit as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. There's no question that he needs to bring his A game, and he hasn't seen his A game for a while, and I'm not sure what the reasoning is. I thought that he would have a better 2014 season, especially after how well he played in Hawaii early. But, you know, he played a while in Kapalua and then turned around and basically didn't play well at Sony. So I don't know what is exactly going on, but, you know, he's a young guy. His name is not, he's not getting the same amount of attention or press as he was before, which is not bad. But I think the bottom line is that he won't be a rookie, but he's going to need some assistance to get himself around Glenn Eagles for 3 days.
I respect your knowledge of the Ryder Cup and everything that's involved with it, Alex. I've had this feeling for quite some time, and I'd like to run it up your flagpole. I've kind of noticed where it seems like, and this is a generalization, I'll be the first to admit it, it seems like the U.S. players are anxious, very anxious, to get on to the Ryder Cup team. And I see the European players are anxious, very anxious to win the Ryder Cup. There seems to be a difference there that I'm perceiving. Is that just me, or is there some validity?
Well, I think maybe in the past that was true. Partly because of the fact that we were so dominant. I think now these guys understand that it requires more than just getting on the team to be victorious. It requires more than just having the best team on paper to be victorious. And certainly, if anybody questioned that it requires more than anything that they've ever done before, they just have to look at Medina with the realization that we were four up, meaning the United States was four up going into Sunday singles. And somehow, some way, the United States let that get away. I think, you know, it's one thing to win like we did at the country club and come back from a deficit and win by four, you know, win from a deficit of four. It's a totally different story when you let a team from over there come here and then show you the door so rudely on Sunday. And I think that is something that is lingered with some of these players for a long time. Keegan Bradley, for sure, I think there's no question that he has the realization that that was a stinger. And Jim Furyk, I believe, feels the same way. So I think there's some guys that are going to remind the younger guys and the guys that have never been there before, like a Jimmy Walker, about what exactly happened. So I think you're going to see a different team, a different United States team. I think it'll be a gritty team. But you're right. In the past, that is the case. I do not think that's the case any longer.
Big day for Captain Tom Watson in making his picks. Let's hear what he had to say.
I can tell you that all the players that I talked to, every one of them, without a doubt, had one thing to say about the Ryder Cup. They want to go back and they want to make amends for what happened in Medina 2 years ago. At this point, I'd like to start off with Keegan Bradley. He's the epitome of somebody who wanted to get on the team. He has struggled with it, honestly. He wanted to make the team so badly. And I commend him for playing under the amount of pressure he put on himself. And that's one of the reasons that I picked him, because he played with all this pressure on himself to get on the Ryder Cup team. One of the things that you look for in a Ryder Cup player is how do they play match play? Well, the second player has a pretty darn good record in match play, Hunter Mahan. Match play seems to be his forte. You know, match play is a little different than medal play. When you have somebody who can understand how to play not only the course but the player, Hunter Mahan is that person. Webb Simpson's my third pick. Webb is he played in the Ryder Cup in 2012, did very well. He has the ability to go real low, but more importantly, in our conversations, I liked his desire to be on the team. He showed just such a strong desire to be in the team. And he's had the performance this year to be one of the picks. The European team on paper has been touted by television people and pundits as being the favorites, that we're the underdogs. But I have a fundamental belief in our team. And more importantly, our players have a fundamental belief in themselves that they can go and win the Ryder Cup.
All right, well, that was Tom Watson, his picks. Before we get to why and how and when did he make some of these picks, I want to say that my good friend Bob Bupka has been involved in redoing. Is it fair to say redoing, Bob?
Yeah, it's completely redone, and I'll put the check in the mail if you keep saying what I hope you'll say.
Well, with the Ryder Cup teams now set, Bob has a new ebook available. It's a complete history of this fierce but friendly competition. I'm not sure about friendly anymore, Bob. From 1927 onwards, leading to the matches at Glen Eagles, the Ryder Cup, golf's greatest event, is now available wherever ebooks are sold. Remember, Ryder Cup, golf's greatest event. You got to get it. Worth reading. Let's take a break, and we'll have more on the Ryder Cup when we return. You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, powered by Golf Week.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. Your table's ready. Now here's Bob Bupka and Alex Maselli.
All right, we're back in The Grill Room. Alex Maselli, Bob Bupka, the author of the Ryder Cup Golf's Greatest Event. Bob, there's some possible topics we should be talking about, I think. First is youth on the team. Youngest U.S. team for a while. Is experience overrated? What do you think?
You know, it's a great question, Alex, because if you don't have experience, I'm giving you credit for a great question. If you don't have experience, you've never tasted defeat. But if you don't have experience, you may not be prepared to anticipate what you're going to experience when you get to that first tee in Ryder Cup.
Well, let me say, first of all, it's golf. It's always been golf. That's what it's about. And the pressures you put on playing in a round or a match are really all up to you. There doesn't have to be pressure there. You should treat it just like any other event, at least on the first tee. And the good thing is, for 2 days, you got a partner to be with. It's more difficult when you're out there on your own in singles. So I think you got to rely on the guy you're with. But I don't think the youth factor is as much of an issue today as it might have been in the past, only because these guys are so good just coming out of college or even high school, for goodness sake. So bottom line is I don't think this is going to be a big issue. And I think, I'm not going to say experience is overrated, but I don't think experience is as necessary as we had thought in the past. Bobby, you think one side or the other is favored?
Well, if you look on paper, I mean, four of the top five players in the world right now are on the European side. Do I think Tom Watson wants to make that trip to Glen Eagles as the underdog? I definitely think that. For some reason, when you're not expected to win, sometimes it seems easier, even though that's crazy, because the way you get to be favored is that you have a better team. And I would love to hear somebody try and make an argument to me, and maybe you're in a position to do so, Alex. How can we make an argument to say, going into the matches, that the U.S. is stronger than the European side?
I think man for man right now, the U.S. team is playing better than the European side. And I think you just have to look at the leaderboards at some of the tour events more recently. And I think that the other end of this equation is that the thing you have to also, I think, factor in is the pressure that the Europeans are going to be under in to some people's minds, the significant favorite that they are going into Glen Eagles. I think those things are going to put added pressures that they've never experienced before. You got Graham McDowell having a baby. You got Justin Rose taking a week off. You got this, you got that. Hey, you know what? Lee Westwood not playing very well. I just think that there's a lot of reasons why you could look at this as, if not evenly matched, a U.S. favorite. But I don't want the bookies to be hearing that, because that means they won't let me. That means that they would be not letting me bet my money on the U.S. side.
Well, that sounds like a good bet. You know, one of the interesting aspects of this 2014 Ryder Cup, Alex, is going to be Ian Poulter. Now, he's been invincible. He's been the Teflon Ryder Cup player. He's 3-0 in singles. Things have gone his way. Putts have gone in when they needed to. My question is, what happens if it gets a little kink in that armor of Ian Poulter? He hasn't had a fantastic year, so he's not going to be able to rely on that. He'll go in there wearing his Superman suit, but will he run into some kryptonite?
Well, I think, first of all, there'll be a tremendous amount of pressure on Ian Poulter, more than anybody else on that team, including Rory McIlroy, because they look at Ian Poulter as the guy. He's the man. He's the guy that made the difference. He's the one that turned the tide at Medina. So he is going to be looked upon by not only McGinley, but the rest of the 11 players on that team. Now, what happens if you said, what happens if things go a little awry, a little haywire, and he loses the first match? Now, I will tell you, as I said earlier, Poulter was two down to Simpson in singles in one, so it's not like he's unused to being in that situation. But that was a whole different deal. That was 2012. They were coming from behind. A lot of things were different. Now he's going to be playing from out of the gate. He's going to be playing from the lead. And I think it's going to be a lot more pressure on Ian Poulter than he probably would want.
All right, let's talk about Glenn Eagles. We mentioned it earlier in the show. You had the opportunity, a great opportunity, by the way, to play Glenn Eagles with Keegan Bradley and Captain Tom Watson and the president of the PGA of America, Ted Bishop. What about the golf course? Who does that favor?
There's no question in my mind it favors the United States. It is a prototypical Jack Nicklaus golf course in the middle of farm country in Scotland. And I don't think there's any question that we will have an advantage, a big advantage, because of our length and our ability to hit the ball high, something we've done for a long, long time. And sometimes it's an advantage and sometimes it's not. But either way, it should be a tremendous advantage for the United States team this time around.
Let's take a look at the captains. Tom Watson, last time he was captain, 21 years ago, ironically enough, the last time that the United States won on foreign soil, that was at the Belfry. I was there. It was an exciting week, to say the least. And we got Paul McGinley, both as a vice captain, as a player. He's never tasted defeat in the Ryder Cup. Captain-wise, and I know you're good friends with Tom Watson, so it may be a little hard for you to be impartial in your assessment, but I'm asking you, any edge either way on the captains?
You know, I would give the edge to McGinley. He is so buttoned down on how he approaches these things. And you talk to the players that know Paul McGinley, and there's no question that he is revered. And I think you can't expect Tom Watson to be revered by his team, because they don't know him anywhere near as well as the European team will know Paul McGinley. So I think they'll be more willing to listen and follow what has been a winning formula of McGinley's. Tom Watson's winning formula came in 1993. There will be some guys that will question if that formula is actually going to win in 2014. And I think the other part of the equation is McGinley, as I understand it, was very proactive talking to his players that were already on the team and trying to determine who he should make, who should be the three captains' picks. And talking to the American players that were on are on the team already, coming out of the PGA Championship, not one of them received a phone call from Tom Watson.
Well, it's kind of surprising to hear that, but let's move on to one other thing, Alex. Azinger, who you're good friends with, you know, he wins at Valhalla in 08, gave a lot of credit to this pod system of players practicing together and being with each other. Tom Watson, is he going to put the pod in?
No, I don't think Watson's going to put the pod in. He'll have some way of approaching this, but I don't think that he really went after his picks in trying to fill in holes in regards to a pod system like Paul Azinger did. I think he went about it in a different way, and it's going to be interesting to see exactly what his formula or his theory is. I really don't know what it is, and I've spent a lot of time with the man, And I'm not really sure what his approach is going to be, and we're not going to know that for a while. I can tell you McGinley's approach. It's going to be one where he will use the same philosophy that team after team after team has used, and that philosophy has been a winner, and we'll see what happens.
Alex, before we wrap this discussion up on the Ryder Cup, I was surprised by one event that took place in the announcement of the captain's picks by Tom Watson. He said today, or the day of the picks, he got up and he was looking at some papers and some stats, and he saw the name Webb Simpson, and he said, wow, that's it. That's my pick. I mean, that surprised me.
I would say shocked me. You know, you would want to think that there was a better reason than the fact that he looked down on a piece of paper and that's what he saw. I am kind of surprised by that, but you know what? That's why he's the captain. And at the end of the day, in a month from now, if we're talking about why he made a mistake, we might be focusing on the fact that he looked down on his table and saw 5-4, 5-4 with Webb Simpson and Bubba Watson. I don't know. But I can tell you this, I think I would have thought that there would have been a lot more involved with that decision than that.
You don't agree with me on much on this show, but what I'm about to say, I have a strong feeling you will agree with me. The winning captain gets way too much credit. The losing captain, way too much blame.
I don't agree with that.
Good man, Alex. Good man. I'll tell you what, you're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, powered by Golf Week. News and notes, they're up next.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
Sight is one of our most valued senses. Many cherished memories and important life lessons are acquired through sight. Through the Transitions Healthy Sight for Life Fund, we're reaching out in communities around the world to help people understand and protect their healthy sight. Think about what you'd miss seeing if you lost your eyesight tomorrow, and take steps to protect your vision today. See more at HealthySightForLife.org.
The light changes, the lens changes. It's as simple as that. Nike and Transitions Optical have collaborated to create a new lens technology that is both responsive to light and specifically engineered to sport performance. Nike Max Transitions Golf Tint Sunglasses will help improve contour recognition on the golf course and increase ball pop. You'll literally see your game in a whole new light. Buy a pair today at Nike.com.
The Grill Room with Alex the Sizzle Maselli and Bob the Steak Bubka continues right now.
All right, Alex, time for news and notes. I know you like this portion of the show, and so do our listeners. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us on the Grill Room. The Grill Room family really has grown lately, and we deeply appreciate people listening in. Let's begin. Liberty National, selected to host the President's Cup 2017, start of a 25-year partnership with the PGA Tour. What's that all about?
That's a good question. The question that I have is, Bob, is why would you have to give $5 million to the First Tee program as part of the deal? That's ridiculous. I mean, the First Tee program has done very little in regards to growing the game of golf, which is what it was supposed to do in the beginning, and now we're giving $5 million to it just so that Liberty National can get a 25-year partnership with the PGA Tour. I don't really understand it. It is disheartening at the very least, but obviously, I guess the richer get richer in this case.
Well, some members of Royal Port Rush are getting richer because they voted to join the Open Championship Rota, which means changing even parts of that golf course. They're hoping for a 2019 Open Championship date. Are they going to get it?
I don't think there's any question that they will get it if they can do everything they need to do. This was one of the things they needed to do. And you know, when they've had the Irish Open at Royal Port Rush, it has outdrawn almost every European Tour event out there. So why wouldn't you, as the RNA, want to bring an Open Championship back to Northern Ireland?
Speaking of Open Championships, let's come back this side of the Atlantic, Mr. Maselli, and talk about the talk that's going on out there, 2023 U.S. Open, maybe coming to L.A., one of your favorite places, and that'll be the first time since Ben Hogan won at Riviera way back in 1948. This time it's not going to Riviera. It looks like Los Angeles Country Club going to get the nod. Have you played it, and what are your thoughts?
Well, Los Angeles, LACC is an unbelievable venue, something that Gil Hands went back and made some significant changes to recently within the last couple of years. And they're going to have the Walker Cup there, believe it or not. What I find interesting and at the same time disheartening is I have no problem with the U.S. Open going to the West Coast again. It's obviously difficult for most people, especially the Europeans and the writers, but they love, the USGA loves this primetime thing, so that's fine. But Atlanta Athletic Club went ahead and invited the USGA to come to AAC for the 2023 U.S. Open, which would have been the 100-year anniversary of Bobby Jones' first U.S. Open win. They brought them there. They had the U.S. Amateur there just a couple weeks ago with the intentions and hopefully the understanding that the USGA would take a look at the place, look at the venue, see how good it is, which is everything that I understood when I was there. They were very happy with everything that was there. You know, that's probably, the club is probably putting out, Bob, anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000 to host a U.S. Amateur. And now, weeks later, I see that the U.S. Open is slated to potentially go to LACC in 2023. You know, how could you look at yourself in the mirror if you're the USGA and do that?
Well, let's wait and see if that becomes finalized. Certainly, Atlanta AC, certainly an outstanding venue, redone, of course, by none other than the man himself, Rhys Jones. European Tour, South Africa's Herniato won the Italian Open, but it was the performance, as you touched upon earlier in the show, Alex. Stevie Gallagher showed enough to earn his place on the Ryder Cup team, and certainly Paul McGinley took note of that and made his pick. What happened on the LPGA Tour?
Well, Austin Ernest, who, you know, I never knew who she was, and I watched her finishing up, and she looked pretty good, and then all of a sudden she kind of lost her game, bogeyed the last two holes, but somehow, some way, found a way to win in a playoff and wins her first event ever on the LPGA Tour, takes home her biggest check of her career, $195,000. Now, Bob, I know you had no question that you've probably taken home more than that off of your golf course travails at times.
You give me your money, I'll burn mine. I'll guarantee you that. Web.com Tour, Bud Cauley wins the first Web.com Finals event, the Hotel Fitness Championship. He now shares the top of the Web.com Finals, tied on top there with Colt Knost. So much was expected of Colt Knost, former United States Amateur Champion. By his own admission, Alex says that he didn't work as hard as he should have when he had an opportunity to play on the PGA Tour, has made a vow that if he gets another opportunity, he is really going to go at it hard and heavy.
Well, there's another part of that equation, too. You know, Colt Knost is a very good player, U.S. Amateur at Olympic Club, also won the Publix that same year. Great player, really is. Doesn't look like a great player, but is a great player. His problem was, as he fell in love with length, he thought that he needed to be longer, and that has never been Colt Knost's game. He's always been a very adept at being around the greens, very good short game, very good putter. You know, how many guys do we know that fell in love with trying to hit the ball further and all of a sudden are no longer on the PGA Tour? And even though Luke Donald's still on the tour, Luke Donald was number one in the world, not because he was hitting the ball long, because he had a great short game. When he started trying to hit the ball longer, look where he is now in his world ranking.
I think Colt Knost's daughter's schedule, if he gets on the PGA Tour next year,
on the PGA Tour next year.
That's right, and he'd be very wise, Alex, to schedule some practice rounds with Zach Johnson. Johnson will teach him a thing or two about you don't have to be that long. Well, he may be getting long in the tooth, but whenever he shows up, he has an opportunity to win. And, of course, I'm talking about Fred Couples, and he does win the Shore Charity Classic. Did it in a playoff with a real good guy, Billy Andrade. Good to see Billy playing well, but the talent of Fred Couples is just outstanding.
It is. Not as good as Bernhard Langer, but Fred Couples has also got a little couple of different ailments that Bernhard Langer doesn't have. Bottom line is Fred Couples can be a beast when he's healthy, and clearly he was healthy last week.
All right, on the PGA Tour, Mr. Maselli, Deutsche Bank Championship, not too far away from Martha's Vineyard. Didn't seem to see any fog there, but apparently your private plane couldn't get in to pick you up and get you down to that press conference. Chris Kirk wins his third PGA Tour event. Certainly it was the largest of his career, earned over $1.4 million. But the guy that surprised me was Jeff Ogilvie. He went home. He thought he was out of the playoffs, then finds out he's number 100, comes to Deutsche Bank, plays well enough there. Now he's in the top 70. He'll be going to Denver. And Jerry Kelly, it was painful to watch. His back or his leg or something was out of whack. He literally limped around, made eagle on the 72nd hole. That was good enough to put him at number 70, Alex, and he's on his way to Cherry Hills.
Well, first of all, Jerry Kelly on Saturday after the second round was not inside the cut line. And when I talked to him in the locker room, after actually, believe it or not, signing some autographs, he was in the most pain I've seen Jerry Kelly in a very long time. It's a back issue, an L5 issue. He went to Stuart Love, one of the physios on site on Sunday and Monday, did a tremendous job on Jerry's back, who actually did make the cut because the golf course got a little harder in the afternoon. And then, you know, he said, look, I don't even know. I could not have done better than I did, which was, I think he was 1 under and 2 under in the last two rounds at Deutsche Bank. And, you know, he's inside the top 70. Then Robert Streb eagles the 18th hole. He falls outside of the top 70. And only because of a short 3 or 4 footer for birdie on the 18th hole by Jason Day does Jerry Kelly get into the top 70 and goes into BMW. That being said, I think that Jeff Ogilvie is finally back. You're going to see him in Kapalua. You're going to probably see him, if he can potentially stay in the top 30, you will then see him in all the majors again and World Golf Championships. Now all of a sudden, he's reborn, something that Ernie Els felt when he won the Open Championship a couple years ago. You need to come back and get back into the situations where you can continue to keep your game going. You need to get a World Golf Championships, you need to get invitationals, and you need to get into majors. And if Jeff Ogilvie does, I think you might be surprised what you see in 2015.
Former U.S. Open winner at Wingfoot. He can get the job done. And if anybody doubted how tough Jerry Kelly is, maybe they forgot. He went to college on a hockey scholarship. As we go to break, let's focus on vision, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses. Lewis Wellen from Oakley talks about the superior technology in Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
It's the best technology in the sunglass business as far as lens options go. The transition technology allows somebody to put on a glass early in the day when the sun might not be quite as bright as it is as the day goes on, and they don't have to change their lenses throughout the course of the day. The UV light activates the lenses, and you can have four lens tints in one as the day goes on. So we have the transition technology in several of our sports performance models, and I think it's some of the best technology in the eyewear business.
You're listening to The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
The outside light and weather change. Your sunglasses should too. Transitions Adaptive Sunglass Lenses change their level of darkness depending on the light outside to enhance your vision during golf and other outdoor activities. Partnered with Callaway, Oakley, and Nike, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses increase contrast, improve distance and depth perception, and reduce distracting glare so you can see the game you love even better. Visit transitions.com/sunwear to learn more and buy a pair today.
The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.
All right, Alex, we're in the home stretch here. Let's take a look at what's next on the schedule. European Tour in the Swiss Alps for the Omega European Masters. They play golf in a lot of pretty places, but this one's got to be near the top of my list.
Absolutely. Thomas Bjorn, I think, is the defending champion. I'm sure many people won't recognize him with that beard, though, now.
Yeah, well, we'll recognize him at the Ryder Cup. He's a tough out, as they say. How about the LPGA Tour? They're going to take a week off, then they'll be going to France for the final major of the year. The Evian Championship should be interesting.
Absolutely. Great event. You know, I'll tell you, they play in some nice places too, Bob.
Yeah, they really do. Playing in France. Ryder Cup coming to France, by the way. 2018, I believe, is the date. All right, the second event on the web.com finals, Chiquita Classic.
Yeah, if you like bananas, you'll love this one. And there are a lot of bananas available to the guys that are playing. I think that you saw how compelling last week was. First event of the final series on the web.com. I'm sure this will be just the same.
All right, the senior boys, they're staying up in Canada, going to be playing the Quebec Championship.
Good golf course. We'll see if Fred Couples or Bernhard Langer are going to come out on top. It should be interesting. And obviously, you know, Bob, the third playoff event of the season is starting on Thursday, the BMW Championship this time around at Cherry Hills, recently revised by Tom Doak in 2008. I had said that to Phil Mickelson, who looked at me and seemed to indicate that I was off my rocker. He remembers the golf course and talked about how he wanted to play the golf course that he won his U.S. Amateur in. I said, you know, it has changed since then. He goes, no, it hasn't. So we'll see how much it's changed, and we'll see if Phil Mickelson can actually show up in Denver. He needs to have a very good performance to make it to East Lake.
And a member of Cherry Hills, none other than John Elway.
That's right, John Elway. And that's it for this week. We'll be back to our normal Monday broadcast next week. You're listening to The Grill Room. I think that's called The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, and is powered by Golf Week, where you go inside the ropes.
A big thank you to our partners, Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses, equipment for a visual advantage, and The Golf Week. For Janice Self, Alex Maselli, and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room, presented by Transitions Adaptive Sunglasses.